hey, welcome to the 2023 Super Bowl of Preaching. Now, why would we do something like this? Well, there's two answers for that. One, because we believe that church can and should be fun. And secondly, because we believe there's spiritual truths and realities that can be drawn out from sports. And that's what each of our teachers are going to be doing today. Now, I want to give you three things you can expect from our time today. The first, hilarious commercials. The second is good old-fashioned smack talk. And the third is going to be teaching like you've never heard it before. Now, we're going to jump in to the main event right now.
Today, we're experiencing the 21st annual Super Bowl of Preaching. And if the last 20 years of any indication, we're in for a real treat. I'm here alongside Cincinnati Bengals legend and NFL Hall of Famer, Anthony Munoz.
Thanks, Solomon. I agree that we're in for a treat. A treat that, to be clear, has absolutely nothing to do with real football.
Nothing. That's right. And I couldn't have said that any better myself. Anthony, you have lots of experience in the big game, having played in the Super Bowl twice yourself. So what should we expect in the big game today?
Well, Solomon, I can't emphasize enough. What we've experienced on the football field is nothing like the spectacle we're about to watch. But I think we'll see some great trash talk and two disciplined teams trying to make the most of their big shot.
Yeah, you know there's going to be a lot of trash talking indeed. There may be some added tension as well because there were some off-season transactions that took place, and guess what? It may change the makeup of both teams.
Yes, Team Tome and Team Mingle have agreed to terms on a blockbuster trade. Team Tome will be acquiring teacher Allie Patterson and kicker Joel Firebaum in this deal.
That's right. And in exchange, Team Mingle will receive teacher Kyle Ranson and kicker Alex Williams, as well as a load of draft picks from Team Tome, including three first-rounders and a conditional second-round pick. This could be kind of like a Russell Wilson-type deal.
Well, it looks like Team Tome is going all in to win this year.
Huge news that shakes up the landscape of our matchup today. How do you feel about the moves you've seen made so far, Anthony?
Well, only time will tell who got the better end of the trade. But one thing is clear, Team Tome is not thinking about the future. They want to win now.
I'm sure there have been some new team dynamics to get used to. Luckily, our colleague Hannah got to sit down with the new teammates and ask them how it's been working together.
Wow, Team Mingo, welcome. We've got some new faces here.
That's right, new and improved.
How are you guys feeling? Chuck, you're holding up two new team members. How are you feeling about the team?
You want to know what I feel like in three words?
Three words.
Amazing. That's how I feel. Kyle and Alex are the future of the Super Bowl of Preaching, some of my favorite people in the world. We're ready to win this championship.
Wow, favorite people in the world. That is high praise. And of course, you're referring to Kyle Ranson, teaching pastor, and Alex Williams, recently drafted kicker. How is it for you guys coming into the new team?
It's been an adjustment. There's a new vocabulary that Chuck's taught us, words that we never knew on Team Tone, like what's starts with a K.
Kind.
Yeah, yeah. Kind, yeah. Nice, loving.
Supportive.
Supportive, yeah. It's beautiful.
Thank
yeah.
you, man. I do love you.
It's beautiful, I love you too.
Well, I mean, strong camaraderie coming out of the gate like we've never seen before, but I would be remiss if I did not bring up Team Tome.
Listen, how many times have you seen the same story play out just like this? Top level athletes, just like us, get traded all the time. There's a business to it. We get that. No hard feelings. We're not upset about.
Shut it. You can speak for yourself, but I take this very personal. That's right, Team Tome. You're going to rue the day that you traded the best kicker in the history of the Super Bowl at Preaching. Rue. I am Alex Shooter McWilliams, and you're going down. That's right. Team Tone, you're going down like this. That's right, Tone. Oh my God.
What were you? Give me those.
Wow. Wow. You know, as the room is coming back to a more normal. Normal tone here. You know, I'm sensing a lot of emotion, a lot of hostility, and I'm not certain if it's coming from the trade or if it's coming from the heated joint practice that I heard about in the preseason. I think we have some footage.
been on social media this year, you've probably heard of the tortilla slap. Rules are simple. You take a swig of water, you play a game of rock, paper, scissors on shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
And then the winner gets the privilege of slapping the other person, I'll be nice, with a tortilla. But everyone has to try to keep their water in their mouths the entire time.
Welcome. We're seeing some new faces here, some pretty big changes in the offseason. Talk to me about that giant trade. No one saw it coming.
It was. Well, you know, the main thing is I like to win, I want to win, and I'll do whatever it takes to win. So I said, let's go for team upgrade. So Allie, she has a killer new book out. It's doing really, really well. Winner! I said, no, we're going to suck Allie over the winner circle here. Joel is doing our student ministry stuff. He's been going for years. Couple years now, he is doing amazing. I mean, it's brought revival, brought energy, enthusiasm, increase of numbers, all kind of amazing stuff, like winner. So I said, we're going to put them on the team that is used to winning, and that's what's going to happen this year.
Wow. I mean, it was a shock to many of us. But maybe, Allie, you might have found it a little bit surprising as well. You've been on Team Mingo forever.
Yes, we're longtime teammates, and I love Chuck. It's hard not to, but I'm with Brian. I mean, I know this guy likes to win, and there's no doubt Kyle's a loser. So I just think, all in all, it was a really good trade, even if it did catch me off guard a little bit.
This is the type of intensity that we expect from Team Tome. Your team leader is walking into this ready to go. Joel, what are you thinking about as you transition to the big game?
I think a lot. Like, take the ozone layer, for example. If there's a hole in it, why aren't all of us getting sucked up into it? Huh? It's not nice.
Wow.
Mingo, it sucked up in the ozone layer on.
No. Here's the. You know, ministry can be a high contact sport, and sometimes staff members have been known to get head injuries.
Okay.
And so we may be wrestling with that a little bit, but ultimately we understand what winning looks like here, and ultimately they understand what crying looks like.
This is what we're expecting in the matchup. We are really gonna see some Bible talk, some really intense words being thrown at each other. Joel here actually proved his worth with that smack on Alex. What a tortilla.
Imagine what
fly.
I can do with my foot.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
And the tortillas, they're awesome.
You know what? He's not wrong. These tortillas are phenomenal. Big trades, bigger tortilla slap, and I can tell the tension in this matchup today is going to be something else, Anthony.
Solomon, I'm not sure what to expect, but I know it won't be close to real football.
Well, you got that right. Well, let's send it down to the field where we will hear from our commentators. Over to you guys.
Solomon Anthony, thanks a lot. If you're just joining us, Greg McElfresh along my esteemed colleague, Hannah Driscoll, live from Crossroads Church at the 21st annual Super Bowl of Preaching. And by the way, we've got to remind you, this game does have a sponsor. It's brought to you by Joel's Tortillas. Concussion or not, you're going to love them.
so, so good. I know that the energy in this space is just palpable. Did you see those teams? They are chomping at the bit to play today. The energy is just insane. And how about that trade, folks? Did we see that coming? That was a big deal.
It's a big deal. I'll tell you this much. It doesn't matter which jerseys these six are wearing. We are sure to see some fireworks on the field today.
That's
but
right.
First, this just in. We actually have some footage of both teams entering into the stadium just a bit ago. Thought we'd take a look at that together.
My shit. And we got Brian Tome, Verizon.
That is one fluffy coat.
Wow.
He looks very warm.
Yes, and the boots. The boots.
Very warm indeed.
Loving. I wonder what's in that suitcase. It's a...
Wow. Allie Patterson coming into the house. Some very COVID-conscious glasses, I might add.
I thought it was like the UV face mask. Same
Not
thing.
Sure what's
Same
going
thing.
On with that. Who's up next? There he is.
Go.
The perennial fan favorite, Chuck Mingo.
And I think those are Snakeskin.
I'm not sure what's playing in the headphones, but the man is in the zone.
Yeah, he's in the zone. Look at those glasses. Look at those glasses.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Just incredible. Oh, my God.
Here comes Kyle Ranson. The green coat a little bit bigger than he is.
I think most coats are a little bit bigger than him. Come on.
Yes, that's right.
Wow, just giant.
Not sure what's in the carry-on bag.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to take it for a ride.
And
he's down.
Nice
he
recovery.
Goes.
He recovers, though. So good job. I mean, the team is in the house, and they are ready
to play. He recovered pretty nicely,
yeah.
I got to tell you. I don't know
play.
If we're used to things.
What's going on?
It's unusual, but apparently we also have some footage of our esteemed referee entering into the stadium.
That is
Dayton
a bit
Community
odd.
Pastor Matt
a
Castleman.
Bit odd indeed. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is in fact a Broadway musical song playing.
Is that a basketball?
And
headshots.
Hot dog.
A lot of headshots there.
Football for dummies, because why would you know about football and ref a game?
You know, he doesn't know anything about football, but at least he can tumble.
At
Hannah.
Least that is a hot dog, a tumbling hot dog, ladies and gentlemen. Tumbling. Okay.
Well, somehow that guy's got to keep us on the rails for today. We do have some rules that we want to tell you about. This is your first Super Bowl of preaching. Here's how we're going to try to do it. First of all, each team will have 2 7-minute quarters they get to preach. Today, they're going to be talking about their learning from the biggest stories this year in the NFL. Should be fun. They've got to use a Bible reference. Could prove challenging for
That's
Team
right.
Tome. They also will be given a random phrase every single quarter to incorporate.
And I know it's super hard to believe, but these phrases are random. Despite my best efforts, I myself could not get a look at them. And they are new every single service, every single quarter. The teachers don't know about them.
That's right. And as always, all the points come down to the jurisdiction of our sometimes referee, Matt Castleman. There's also going to be points he gets to decide.
So
how's that work?
So speaking of points, let's just do this rundown. Because if you're trying to follow this game, which is basically impossible, I'm sorry. Let me just tell you what they are. Here we go. If you do a compelling message within 7 minutes or less, you can get 6 points. Correct use of that very random phrase is 3 points. This year, we've got 2 options for Bible trivia. You can get 1 point for just a regular Bible trivia,
okay.
Or you can do a ridiculous Bible trivia.
Ridiculous
That's
Bible trivia, okay.
Now, as always, our ref is in his own world, in his own musical, and he can decide he didn't like what you did, and that might result in a penalty, and that is a negative 3 points.
He's been known to throw the flags even when he doesn't know why.
He does enjoy the flags, ladies
yeah,
and gentlemen.
That's right. Well, it's going to be some shady math. What do you say we meet the players?
It's about time.
Friends, put your hands together and give it up for Team Tome!
So raise your glass if you want one. In all the right ways, all my underdogs. We will never be having anything but loud. Little, pretty, dirty, little freaks. Won't you come in, raise your glass. So come in, raise your glass. Won't you come in, raise your glass.
Keep the love going and put your hands together for Team Mingo!
win. ABC, BBD.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. You've heard the rules. We've met the players. It's time to throw it down to the Dayton community pastor, Matt Castleman, who I think is filming a TikTok. Is that Meghan Trainor's Made You Look? Matt, you ready to get started? Matt Castleman, esteemed referee.
All right, let's bring it in, players.
I'm not sure what the stretching is.
Okay, I just want to be real honest with you guys up front. I thought I was studying to understand the game. Apparently, Ted Lasso is a different kind of football, so that doesn't count. But I'll tell you that I know people say, oh, referee doesn't know what he's talking about, and the referee isn't good at sports, the ref's dad doesn't love him. And all I want to tell you is that I've actually watched a football game this season. Thank you. I watched the, Kansas City Chiefs versus Cincinnati Tigers game, and
oh, no.
The referee in that, no, listen, hey,
the crowd disagrees,
okay. They don't approve.
All I'm saying, mom said no bullying, all I'm saying is that, okay, first off, his name's trending on Twitter, and second, the Kansas City Chiefs called him their MVP, sure, so I'm just saying, I feel like we're ready to go today. Okay, so we're not going to do a coin toss, because I hear Cincinnati got all up in arms about coin tosses, so we're just going to do rock, paper, scissors, football, okay?
Okay.
So
okay.
I need your two best rock, paper, scissors.
Don't hit me with that.
All right, ready? Go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right. Team Tom. Kick or receive? Kick or receive?
We'll kick.
Kick, okay. Here you go.
Ready?
Team Tome to kick the Bible, the thing that gets us the most emails every year.
I'm nervous. Will you kick?
You want me to kick?
It's been a long day. Go ahead.
Looks like the kicker is declining to kick, everyone.
Patterson back to kick. Here it is. Oh! Over the hands of Ranson. Into the end zone. That's going to be a touchback for the beginning of the first
quarter. Everyone touch your backs. Touch backs.
That was that. All right. I'm not sure the ref knows what a touchback is.
Chuck, please choose your random phrase.
Okay. This one.
Okay, your random phrase is, based on that, yeah, I think I'd be a pretty good wizard.
Oh, okay.
Chuck Mingo has the Bible. Here's our first quarter.
Well, welcome to Crossroads. You guys having some fun? Yes. I'm feeling the energy in this group. Come on now. It's awesome. All right. Well, hey, there's so many storylines to choose from in the NFL in terms of the biggest learnings that I've had this year. I mean, obviously, DeMar Hamlin, and we're going to talk about that story today. There's also the storyline of the Bengals almost making it again, which leads to the third storyline from this year's NFL, which is bad officiating. There's definitely some bad officiating that needs to be dealt with. But there's some other stories as we go into the Super Bowl. How many UC fans we got in the house, University of Cincinnati, folks? Come on. The Kelce Bowl, for the first time, you got two brothers facing off. Former UC Bearcats, Jason Kelce, who's with the Eagles, who are going to win, by the way, and Travis Kelce, who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Then there's the story of the quarterbacks. For the first time in NFL history, you got two African-American quarterbacks facing off in the big game. That's historic. Historic and a beautiful story as well. But the biggest story, the biggest learning that I've had this year in the NFL is all about why presence matters. Presence matters. There's three names that aren't going to get the highlights, but they should be highlighted. Ed Kelce, who's the father of Travis and Jason Kelce. Avarian Hertz, who's the father of Jalen Hurts, quarterback for the Eagles. And Patrick Mahomes Sr., who's the father of Patrick Mahomes, who is on the football field for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's amazing to think about all of these athletes were raised by present fathers in their life, who along with their mothers are a foundation for their family. I am celebrating that. And these guys on the field are going to represent their father in the same way that Jesus came to represent the Father. In the same way that Jesus came to represent. You ever wonder? I mean, if you're new to the whole faith thing and maybe somebody invited you to this crazy thing today, you might ask the question, why Jesus? What was the thing about Jesus having to come in human form? I think it's this. God knew that if he didn't take the step of representing himself in human form, we would always question whether or not God loved us.
We would always question whether or not God was angry and distant or disconnected from the reality of our lives. But when he came as Jesus, he wanted to make it abundantly clear how much he loved us, that he was willing to step into the human experience to show us just how much his presence meant. John, who writes about Jesus' coming, says this in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now, what he's saying there is Jesus came and moved into the neighborhood. So I want to read that verse again, but hey, I'm originally from Philly, so is it okay if I read it from the Philadelphia version? I want to read it from the Philadelphia version. In the Philadelphia version, it says this, "Yo, the Word became flesh and blood in this John and moved into the hood." That's what Jesus did. And I know I need to explain myself because I used a word there that's not a Cincinnati-based word, the word John. John is a literal word used in eastern Pennsylvania. It stands for a person, place, or thing that either needs not be named or cannot be named. So I am speaking with this John. I love reading this John. And in fact, I think I could have been a really good wizard because I have at home a wand. I could use that John to be a good wizard.
Wow, there it is. The use of the random phrase.
Flag on the play.
You did get the random point, or the random phrase. However, you're saying John, and you're going John and John and John. Delay of game, a 3-point penalty will be assessed.
Oh. Crowd doesn't like it.
Boo!
But here's the best John of the day. Jesus one time was asked, "Show us the Father." And I love what Jesus said to one of his followers. He said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." God sent Jesus because he knows that presence matters. In fact, in the Bible, it says that where his presence is, there is fullness of joy. It says that where God's presence is, his perfect love drives out fear. Where the presence of God is, you and I are able to be more of who God created us to be. And it goes even further because Jesus then said this, when we have his presence, which he's offering to us, he says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do." There's this whole thing about things being caught and not taught. You've heard that. Well, it's interesting because Jalen Hurts was asked about the foundation of having a present father and a present mother, and this is what he said. "I have a foundation kind of set for myself, but my parents did that for me." What is he saying? He's saying there's some things that I caught because I had my parents present, and so therefore I can live into it. Did you know that his father, Avarian Hurts, was his football coach in high school? Did you know that his older brother, Avarian Hurts Jr., was actually the quarterback coach for the University of Alabama? So it shouldn't be a roll tide. That's right. So there should be no surprise that his son can represent being a great quarterback in this game this weekend because his presence matters and Avarian's presence was there for him. Patrick Mahomes is a magician throwing the football. He's an absolute magician. Did you know that Patrick Mahomes Sr. played pitcher for a minor league baseball team? So it shouldn't be any surprise that he can throw the ball like that because Patrick Mahomes Sr.'s presence mattered in the life of Patrick Mahomes. See, what you see represented, you can represent. And here's the thing. I know in a room this size, I don't know your father's situation. And some of us, our father's situation has been painful. But I want you to know this. I don't know your father's situation, but I know if you know Jesus, you can know the love of a father. I know that what Jesus said to his follower, he says to you that if you have seen him, you have seen the Father. If you let him love you, you experience the love of a father. If you're in relationship with him, you are in relationship with the Father because presence matters and Jesus offers his presence to you. I'll never forget when I was probably in high school, my sister told me, "Chuck, if you ever have a daughter..." I wasn't dating anybody. I mean, she's early on. "If you ever have a daughter, you make sure she senses your presence of love in her life. You be the first one to buy her flowers," she told me. She said, you be the first one to get her jewelry. She said, "You be the first one to do these things for her. You be the first one to take her out because your presence matters." And so I want you to know that literally I won't be here for the second half of this service because I'm taking my daughter to a daddy-daughter dance today. Today. Because I know that my presence matters. And here's the thing. Jesus wants to offer his presence to you. A presence that enables you to do greater things than you could ever imagine. Receive his presence. Let him represent the love of a father to you. You will be so glad that you did.
Touchdown, Team Mingo!
Here we go.
Here's to wipe your sweat.
Yes, thank you so much. Tortilla has multiple uses.
That's disgusting.
Chuck, you're awarded 6 points for a great, touching message. 3 points for excellent use of the random phrase. However, we did have the John. I didn't know John. We were making up words. I'm making up points, but what about words? So we've got six. You want to go for one or two extra points?
We're an aggressive team. We got to go
aggressive.
For two.
We got to go for two.
Your two-point Bible trivia question is, God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:2, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Alex, name all five Great Lakes.
All five what?
What?
All five
the
Great Lakes,
everyone.
It's a basic Bible question.
Erie, Huron.
Helping is allowed.
Superior,
Ontario, Michigan, and
Superior?
Superior,
Huron, Erie.
That sounds right! They get the points!
Yes!
Let's go!
Got the Great Lakes!
Resulting in an end of first quarter score, Team Mingo 8, Team Tome 0.
Well, there you have it, folks. First quarter, 8-0. Mingo practicing what he preaches.
That's right.
Going to the daddy-daughter dance tonight. What'd you see?
You know, Mingo knows exactly what to do. He comes out here with a play, and his play is to pull at the heartstrings of the crowd. He is a crowd favorite for a reason. We're not shocked to see
this. That's right. Hey, we know what the real crowd favorite is. How about our first commercial break?
Your dog deserves the very best. That's why you feed them Iams. Don't you deserve the best too? Now it's time to treat yourself. Introducing Iams Homestead. Everything your dog loves about their kibble, now crafted for the whole family to enjoy. Cooking made easy. Comes in traditional dry or canned wet. Free of sugars, dyes, and preservatives. A delicious and healthy option for the whole family. Iams Homestead. Kibble for all.
Action.
We've all been there. You wake up in the morning, the kids are sick, and you have to go to work. Terrible situation. That is the reason that I started Uncle Petrie's Daycare. We won't turn away a sick kid, ever. We've got all types of kids here. We'll take them in any condition. Flu? We'll take them. COVID-19? We'll take them. Bronchitis? Hand, foot, and mouth disease? We'll take them here at Uncle Petrie's.
I don't feel so good.
Of course you don't feel good, kid. That's why your parents sent you to Uncle Petrie.
Mom.
We do it all here. Nap time. Arts and crafts. Pretty sure that was pee. Educational lessons. What is multi-level marketing? This is how pyramids work. Physical activities and so much more. When other daycares turn you away, Uncle Petrie saves the day. It's literally your only option.
Introducing BetMGM and DraftKings' new digital sportsbook, DraftTots. The first app that allows you to bet on your kids anytime, anywhere. $20 on your kid gives you a whole new reason to cheer. Over under. Billy plays at least 5 minutes today. I take the under.
That kid is trash.
Think Aisha can land a front handspring? Put your money where your mouth is. Do you know your kid's gonna lose? Bet the sure thing. So what? They cry a little bit. Just take them out to get some ice cream with your winnings. And now, new users who bet $5 on any game can win $200 free to exploit your children on future bets. Draft Tots, making lame kids stuff fun again.
We won! We won!
No, we didn't! No! 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 No!
I gotta tell you, this stuff is delicious.
Your eating is
it's
so nasty.
So good.
So gross. Before I throw up, let's throw it down to the field. Kicking off our second quarter, Alex. Allie Patterson, everybody.
Come on, Alcat. Come on, Alcat.
All right, Team Tome will have possession of the Bible for the second quarter. Allie, choose your random phrase. Your random phrase is, people don't realize how good Mother Teresa was at Pilates.
Okay, second quarter. My biggest learning from the NFL this year is that anyone can go from feeling irrelevant to knowing they're significant. There is a story of a guy named Brock Purdy, and he's the third string quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And his story this year reminded me that that is in fact possible for anyone, because Purdy, no exaggeration, the single most devalued player in the NFL this year. It was his rookie season. You all, he was drafted last. 262nd out of 262 players that were drafted last year in the NFL, earning him the title, the nickname, Mr. Irrelevant. Brock Purdy was never supposed to matter. He was never supposed to get on the field, not just this year, ever. Some of you walked in here and you feel a little bit like that. In some aspect of your life, you feel unseen, you feel demeaned, you feel devalued, you feel totally irrelevant. And it's messing with your head. And you need one mindset adjustment, just one mindset adjustment, to go from feeling irrelevant to knowing how significant you really are. Purdy should have felt like his nickname. He should have felt irrelevant. But here's the thing. Somebody forgot to tell Brock Purdy that he didn't matter. Listen to what he said when he got drafted last. A team believed in me, and now I get my opportunity to go and play football. At the end of the day, I'm trying to help a team win a Super Bowl. That was his mindset when he was the last pick of the NFL draft. It reminded me of something that happened in the life of Jesus, actually. Jesus took a visit back to his hometown right when he started his public ministry. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and when it was time to read from the ancient scriptures, from the prophets, he kind of put his hand up and he's like, I got this one. So they hand him the scroll, and Luke 4 records the words of Isaiah that he spoke that day in the synagogue. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and regain of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he probably paused and he looked out at everyone and he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. Wow. That is a guy who thinks he's just entered the Super Bowl. He literally stepped up and declared himself the fulfillment of the ancient words that promised God was going to send a Messiah, a Savior for us. And guess what people in the back row said? "Isn't this Joseph's kid? Don't we know this guy? Didn't we know him as a kid? Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is?" And I don't know about you, but I've been there. I have absolutely felt devalued, unseen, completely demeaned by people in my life, by the culture around us sometimes. Listen, you all, I'm a 45-year-old white woman in the era of Karen. Things that I have literally spent the better part of two decades doing are suddenly punchlines to someone's Karen jokes. Praying with my kids at bedtime, packing four kids' school lunches every day. You all, it doesn't take a lot to feel hurt or judged by somebody else's perspective on your life. Apparently, Karens live where I live in the suburb. Apparently, Karens drive cars like I do that's big enough to fit all four of my kids and some of their friends. Apparently, Karens give really good advice, like keep your private parts private. For real, though. We all...
Oh, flag on the play there.
Unpreacher-like conduct?
What?
Talking private parts in church? That's the penalty. And that's why the flag is yellow. A 3-point penalty will be assessed.
Oh.
We'll get
Listen, it's okay. Really, I'm Mother Teresa. You all don't know how good Mother Teresa really was at Pilates.
There it is. Use of the random phrase.
It's the random phrase.
We all have moments that we feel like somebody else's joke, where we have been made irrelevant. I had one of these moments with God where I was talking to him and I said, hey, I'm out here trying to tell people about you and I don't particularly like the package that you've wrapped me in to do it. It's not working for me. And just the littlest voice came into the back of my mind. And I heard this little whisper of a thought that for sure wasn't mine. And the thought I had was, don't you know that's just your disguise? It's just your disguise. It's not who you really are. And your disguise, you have one too. You're wrapped in a package. Sometimes it's going to work for you and it's going to be exactly right and you're going to love it and you're going to be Mr. Relevant. And other times people are going to try to disrespect it all the way into irrelevance. And I think who you are and how you're wrapped and your skills and your strengths and exactly how you look is important and strategic and chosen by God and you should own it, but you should never, never mistake that for the totality of who you really are. The mindset shift that you need to make right now, if you walked in the door today feeling irrelevant, is to stop looking at the external things. Stop listening to the external voices and believe the voice of the one who made you instead. The one who knows exactly who you are, exactly why you are where you are, and he's already decided what you're worth. Do you know how much you're worth to God? There's actually scripture that tells us exactly how much you're worth to God. You were bought at a price, and that price was the life of his son. That price is the life of his only child. And if you don't know that you're worth that, if you don't know how significant you are to God, then you're going to continually chase people and circumstances and external things to try to give that to you, and you will constantly feel messed with, demeaned, and disrespected. Always. And you need to get your mind right so you don't fall for it. Brock Purdy, he did not fall for it. He did not fall for it. He knew his helmet and his pads are just his external disguise. He knew what he was worth before he stepped on the field of the NFC Championship game as the third string quarterback, the lowest paid quarterback to play in a championship game this year. He already knew what he was worth. Listen to him in his own words.
The bottom line is for me, my identity is in Jesus. I get that, and I'm gonna roll with that. But it's not, hey, I'm better than you. No, it's I'm called to do this. I'm called to witness. I'm called to share the word. I have this knowledge, you know, of the Spirit, and I want to give it to as many people as I can.
Pretty good. Brock Purdy already knew who he was. I don't think when they called him Mr. Irrelevant, I don't think it bothered him at all. Do you know what he said? He was recorded as saying, it's my job and I take it seriously, but at the end of the day, I wasn't born to just be a quarterback. His head was already in the game before he stepped on the field. His eyes were already locked in on God. He wasn't looking for the NFL to tell him what he was worth. He wasn't looking for the NFL to call him Mr. Significant. They could call him Mr. Irrelevant. And it wouldn't have mattered because he already knew why he was there. And so he stepped up and he was ready to do exactly externally what he was equipped to do. And he was ready internally because he already knew he was significant. Do you know what Super Bowl winners get? They all get a free trip to Disney World and they give it to one other guy too. They give it to the last pick of the NFL draft. Talk about disrespect. It's almost like they're saying, this is the only Super Bowl perk this guy is ever going to get, so go ahead and enjoy it. And I don't know about you, but I would bet on Brock Purdy getting another one. Because it turns out that Mr. Irrelevant already knew that he was just Mr. Significant in disguise. And you need to know the same.
It's the end of our first half.
Touchdown, Team Toe!
All right, you ready to kick?
Allie, you were awarded 6 points for a great message. Thank you. However, you did have the 3-point penalty. And 3 points for the random phrases, so 6 to 8. Would you like to go for 1 or 2 points?
Go for 2. You got this.
Yeah, I'll do 2.
Got this, Fireball.
Okay.
All right, your 2-point question. Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 9 describes athletes competing in competition, but only one getting the prize. Name three NFL teams that have yet to win the Super Bowl.
Mm. Oh. Ever?
Bengals.
Ever?
Ever.
Bengals, Lions.
Has the Lions? That's what
one is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Is it Bengals?
We're going to go two Ohio teams, even though I love the state. The Browns and the Bengals, and we're going to go Detroit Lions.
That is correct!
That is correct.
Oh, yeah. Great work.
And if
my
math is correct, then we have a tied game. 8-8. Oh, that's the end of first act.
Come back and win this.
All right, end of the first half. 8-8. Anybody's game. What'd you see?
A nail biter indeed. This is the type of fierceness that we just expected these players to come with today. It was nice to see some Bible finally on Team Tome. It was just incredible there. Incredible.
That's right. Hey, halftime show coming up right on the other side of this commercial break.
Today's watches are designed to get your heart racing. Push yourself harder, harder, to move you faster. But what if there was a watch made for you?
Me?
Introducing the Potato Watch, built for those who just want to sit and do nothing. While the whole world is running, we'll make sure you slow down with our new acceleration detection. It can even help you figure out the easiest path to take. You don't need better sleep. You just need more sleep. Potato Watch's patented lightning IV connection sends melatonin straight to your veins. Sleep when you want. Anywhere you want. Also available, the fully loaded Potato Watch uses advanced NASA technology to give Uber Eats pinpoint accuracy, even in the most remote locations. Potato Watch. Take a seat. Live a little.
God awaits you in the wilderness, waiting to speak to you, to encourage you, to show you something new. God awaits you in the wilderness, to spark new connections, to mend old ones, to remind you you're never alone. God awaits you in the wilderness, to give you a break, to show you joy, to bring you back to life.
People love their Pelotons, but they don't ride their Pelotons. So we asked, what do our users need? Wet Fish. I'm pleased to announce that every Peloton user has been upgraded to our new Accountability Plus program. Basically, if you don't ride your Peloton, we're gonna come and find you and smack you with a Wet Fish.
Wet Fish.
Wet Fish.
Wet Fish.
Sure, we've all got excuses. Some of us have great excuses, but that's no excuse to miss a workout. You will ride your Peloton, or we'll come and smack you with a Wet Fish. Salmon, mackerel, tuna. For toddlers, we got goldfish. Honestly, sometimes the whole family gets a Wet Fish. Now, do I technically work for Peloton? No. Am I a fugitive in seven states? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. The new Peloton Accountability Plus program, now standard for every single person that's ever bought a Peloton, ever. Peloton just got real. What the?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're proud to present to you your 2023 Super Bowl of Preaching Halftime Show.
Sushi restaurant, music for a sushi restaurant, music for whatever you want. Scooby-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo. I'm not going to get lost. not going to go wrong. Stay cool. It's 'cause I love you, baby.
I hear you. Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we'll still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella. You can stand under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, hey, hey, hey. Under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, hey, 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 hey. Hey. All right. I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl, my girl, my girl, talking about my girl, my girl. Ooh, ooh. Yeah. You sound so good, Oakley.
All right, now I know y'all know this song. Whether you're 65 or 25, all of y'all can sing it. Put your hands out like this. Hey. Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, but touching you. Everybody sing now, sweet Caroline, ba ba ba. The good times never seem so good.
Believe they never would, but now I'm free.
clap your hands.
Hey!
Come on, let's go.
Check it out, y'all. Please don't stop the music.
Come on, y'all. Clap your hands.
I wanna take you away. Let's escape into the music.
Someone you know has suffered from not using your Peloton, you could be entitled to a cash award. I'm Scott Smith, the smart, tough lawyer. If you've died or been hospitalized due to Peloton, it's time for you to fight back. Symptoms may include
blurred vision, cold sores, hot sores, bedhead, fish oil overdose, rectal rapids, Brussels sprout fingers, squirrel focus, early onset pregnancy, banjo skills, optical leprosy, second puberty, sugar joints, foreign accent syndrome, spicy corneas, slow bowel movements, spine loss, Fortnite people, gator butt, flimsy eyebrows, puppy breath, fragile toenails, Taco Bell pants, sloshy bottom, lower cholesterol.
Call me at 777-FISH right now if you or a loved one has suffered from using Peloton. That's 777-FISH.
Crossroads has been called to change the world.
I heard many times about Nepalese girls getting sold to prostitution in India, and that made me think to lose some time of my life to come to Nepal and do something about it.
Poverty, injustice, unsafe drinking water, food insecurity, human trafficking. The work varies from partner to partner, place to place, but the call is the same. Go change the world.
When we saw what was happening to the forgotten communities in Puerto Rico, we knew we had to do something.
We are invested in creating meaningful relationships with our partners, whether local, regional, or international. Our partners are answering the call to influence radical life change.
When I heard about South Africa, I was all in and so excited. It turns out it was the best experience of my life.
God designed us for purpose and relationship, and that's what you'll experience when you go. You were meant for more than the ordinary. We are meant to go. You are meant to go. Let's go.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? We see you.
And 3, 2, 1, and breathe.
And we see more than fitness goals. We see your potential, and we know there's more. From the makers of Fit Mirror, introducing Life Mirror. Gain access to a 24/7 coach to keep you reaching your daily goals.
And fold! 2, 3, 4! Wrinkles are for losers, and you're a winner.
Always checking your form.
Hands at 10 and 2, excellent, excellent turn signal. And merge, 2, 3, 4.
Always keeping you on track. Excited.
Garlic bread is burning! What's the garlic bread is burning! Move! Oh, no. Move!
Always pushing you to be your best.
Let's go! Up and at 'em, rise and shine! Let's go! It's a brand new, beautiful day!
Life Mirror. Reach your full potential.
Doing? Trash day is Thursday.
Trash day is Thursday.
To waste any time, let's go right down to the field and give it up for Kyle Ranson, everyone.
Sorry, just finishing up here. A bet on draft tots for today's game. Got it. Okay. All right, Kyle, please choose your random phrase. All right, your random phrase is, that's why you should change your fluids every 30,000 miles.
Fantastic. My biggest learning from the NFL this year is that you can be healed. Pop quiz for the men in the room, get us started. Help me out with this scenario. A couple weeks ago, a friend of mine offered me a free ticket to a great football game, which is great, right? But there was a problem. My wife was home sick, alone with our three kids who were also sick, and I was at work. So, men, what should we do in this situation? Should we go to the game, or should we go home?
Go to the game, right?
Wow, I see some people who are going to need marriage counseling soon. Great.
I chose to go home, and I figured that should put some points up on the old marriage scoreboard, right? Problem with points, though, is you don't get credit for them if your wife doesn't see you score. And so I thought about it. Should I tell Sarah about this? But I'm a spiritual person, and so I asked myself a spiritual question that I saw on a rubber bracelet at a mall once. WWJD. Hey. What would Jesus do? And I knew the answer almost instantaneously. I knew what Jesus would do. He would humbly not make it about himself, and he would remind me that, Kyle, there is no such thing as a scoreboard and a healthy marriage. That's what Jesus would do, which I thought was great advice for someone else to take. Because I wanted the points. So I told her, we're watching the game. I said, hey, you know, I could actually been at this game, but I chose to stay here and take care of you. And I was waiting for a response, right? Something like, Kyle, you're just such the best husband in the whole world. We should build a statue in your honor and place it in the yard. And I was prepared, because I'm humble, to say, no, that's too far. We don't need a statue. Just a plaque would be fine. That would be probably very appropriate. But that's not what she said. She looked at me like I was a toddler peeing on the carpet. Like, what are you doing? Why didn't you go to the game? So the rest of this message won't be about marriage, because 16 years in, I still know nothing about it at all. But about 25 minutes later in that same game, a young man on the Buffalo Bills suddenly collapsed on the field. The whole nation was watching, and the whole nation instantaneously started to pray. All over Twitter and social media, the hashtag PrayForDamar went around. Everyone was praying. At Crossroads the next morning, we had a prayer service for him in our beautiful location, Crossroads Uptown. And miraculously, thanks to prayer and the help of amazing medical professionals, he was healed. Incredible. And this is the point where, if you've ever been to church before, you might be thinking, I can predict the rest of this message. The preacher guy's going to say that if you just pray, it'll be okay. And then I'll go home. I'm supposed to feel happy about that. But there's a problem with that, isn't there? See, I know I'm not the only one who, in the 6 weeks since praying for Damar, have prayed for somebody else who hasn't been healed. I know I'm not the only one in this room who prayed for a loved one years before Damar, and they were not healed. In fact, just this week, in that same beautiful Crossroads Uptown location where we had the prayer service, we had a memorial service for the 18-year-old daughter of one of our staff members at Crossroads. And so what do we do with this? How are we supposed to respond? As a nation who saw a one in a million miracle, what about the other 999,999 of us? What do we do with this? The miracles. Now, 2,000 years ago, seeing Jesus teach, it was like the hottest ticket in town. The whole nation was watching Jesus teach. Everybody was seeing this scene. It says this in Luke 5:17, they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Four friends on this day walk in carrying their paralyzed buddy to this scene. And they are hoping that he's going to get healed, but there was no ticket system for this day. And so the house was over full, and they had to go up on top of the roof. They dug a hole in it, and they lower their buddy down in front of Jesus. And amazingly, Jesus stops mid-sentence and starts to teach. And he starts to look at the man. He goes, hey, I see you. And he says this to them, Mark 2:5. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. And then he goes right back to teaching. He's like, guys, what was it I was talking about? What was I saying? Oh, that's right. That's why you change your fluids every 30,000 miles. Does that make sense? Sorry, guys. I lost my train of thought.
Good use of the random phrase.
That's what he says. But imagine being the friends in this moment. You've just walked your buddy, who knows how far, to get him healed. But Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. He'd be like, Jesus, I know we skipped reception downstairs. Okay, maybe our fault. You didn't know why we were here. We were hoping for a healing, not this. And as they're thinking this, a fight breaks out in the bleachers. It's the Pharisees. They don't like Jesus at all. They're irate. They're like, you can't forgive someone's sins. Only God can do that. And Jesus hears them and he responds and he says something to them that I think he'd say to us today. Mark 2:9. Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has power and authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Did you catch it? See, Jesus said when a nation witnesses someone being physically healed, it's for a very specific reason. See, when they see a small miracle, like a man laid out flat, rising to walk again, it's only so that they would believe that he has the power to do a much greater miracle in them to heal their true sickness. Now, interestingly, in the moment between, son, your sins are forgiven, and then being healed and able to walk, the paralyzed man says nothing. Why? Well, I think it's because the creator of the universe, the word of God made flesh, as Chuck said, the word that divides between soul and spirit, looked at him and called to him. And he didn't call him broken. And he didn't call him bad. He didn't call him beyond hope. He called him son. And he said, your sins are forgiven. And I think in that moment, every pain from every hurt and every problem and every hang-up you'd ever had was healed. I think that paralyzed man in that moment knew something that no one else in that room knew. He had already been healed of the thing that mattered much more than his body. You see, Jesus has an eternal perspective. He sees physical healings for what they are. They're temporary. Think about this. Every person who's ever been physically healed gets sick and hurt and dies again. Every one of them. Doesn't mean we shouldn't ask for them. Let's please ask for them. Please, I'd love to see more. But I'm telling you, every single one of them happens again. Jesus, I think he looks at physical healings as like a 1 in importance and spiritual healings at a 10. And I think we've got them flipped and we're the worst off for it. The Bible has some advice for us in 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. So what's seen is temporary, but what's unseen is eternal. See, I think Jesus would say, America, I let you see Damar Hamlin be healed so that you would believe that I have the power to heal you. You can be healed. Do you need hope? You can have hope. Ask for it. Do you need fear? Are you crippled by anxiety? Ask for freedom and you'll have it. Do you want to see joy in your heart start to grow and never stop? You can have it. Do you want to call out to the word of God made flesh? He's not going to say you're bad. He's not going to say you're broken. He's not going to say you're beyond hope. He's going to call you son. He's going to call you daughter and say all your sins are forgiven. See, the good news today is that Jesus is a miracle worker and he's on the clock right now.
Woo! Touchdown Team Mingo!
Yeah, so good.
Come on!
That was a great message. I've seen him do this. Get some oxygen in you. There you go. All right. So now, Kyle, you get 6 points for a great message. You did use the random phrase, but I felt like, it was a gimme.
What?
I'm going to give you half credit, 1.5 points. So you're at 15.
I don't think we've
15.
Ever even seen that in 21
We're all
years.
Disappointed, okay? My mom was supposed to take pictures of me above the stadium today, but someone shot down her balloon, okay? So we're all sad.
Too soon.
Listen, you want to go for the extra Bible trivia? One or 2 points?
We got to go for two.
Okay, your question is,
us on the other point.
You got to get this one on the head. Abraham was 100 years old when he had his first child. How old did hip-hop turn this year?
This is a great question, ladies and gentlemen. Hip-hop's doing it
again. Rapper's Delight, 1980-ish.
So maybe... I trust the crowd greatly.
50.
And they're saying 50.
50 is the answer! Correct!
A little help from our friends.
Little help from our friends just to get by, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, I'm just now getting an update from Yeah, apparently for that penalty that I called earlier, there was my colleague up in the stands called a timeout before I had actually issued that half credit.
Yeah. So I feel like we've seen this before.
I'm going to do another do-over.
It's too soon.
And I'll give you full credit if you just say your random phrase.
Where'd it go?
I'm not sure. Yeah, that's the
And now a search commences.
That's
it. That's why you change your fluid every 30,000 miles.
That's right! A full 3 points! Wow!
Some shady business.
That's too soon.
We've got... Oh, God, help me. We've got... Two plus two.
Yeah.
So that's 17. 16 plus 18? Does that sound right?
14.
18-8. That's the score for sure.
All right, 18-8. One quarter left to go. Let's see if Team Tomes got enough in the tanks. Brian Tome to the pulpit.
All right. Please choose your random phrase. All right, Brian, your random phrase is... It was either Oprah, Teddy Roosevelt, or Jesus that said, comparison is the thief of joy.
My vote is for Oprah.
My biggest learning from the NFL this year is that losing is a mindset. As far as I can tell, half of all teams lose every weekend.
Including your kids on...
Losing is a mindset. It's a natural thing. Now, it's one thing when you're losing in a game that there's always somebody who's going to lose, but it's another thing when you and I take on a mindset where we think that we are a loser. We might not use those phrases, but we might say something or think something instead like, I am not going to get any more chances from God. Or we think, oh, things have been going too good for me. The other shoe's going to drop. Or we think that I don't deserve a second chance. Or we think that God doesn't have a future for me. Or whatever it is, we just take this assumption that bad things are going to happen to me and it's just not good. It's a loser mindset. Ephesians 4:23 says, when we come to Christ and we choose to grow in Christ, we make the decision to, as it calls, renewing our mind, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing renewal process. As bad thoughts, ungodly thoughts come in, we go to God, and we want those thoughts and that mind to be renewed. And I think part of why this Super Bowl isn't as exciting as last Super Bowl, of course, last Super Bowl, the Bengals were in it, which most of us are all about, whether or not you're in Lexington or Dayton or Columbus or Cincinnati. That was a lot of fun last year. But it's kind of traumatic this year. They're not in, not because we feel like we're entitled to be in the Super Bowl, but many of us are going, oh man, are we back to our losing ways? Oh, that was a heartbreaker. Oh no, because if you've been a Cincinnati Bengals fan, we understandably have had a loser mindset for a long time. And we're afraid of it being ripped away from us. Somebody actually asked Joe Burrow, they said, do you feel like the championship window is closing? How big is it? He said, the window's my whole career. Our window's always open. I love that. He is a winner. He has a winning mindset. He doesn't have a losing mindset. One of the things I'm sure people will be talking about on Monday is the two ads are going to play at the Super Bowl tomorrow. He Gets Us. He Gets Us is an initiative that a number of smart people put together to help people understand that Jesus understands us. Let's get away all the religious politicization, all that stuff. Jesus understands us. He gets us. And people don't know who funded them, and that's intentionally. The guy who put together the whole program, did the whole thing, there's going to be two ads again on the Super Bowl, during Super Bowl on Sunday. He said that the people who funded the ads didn't want to be known. They wanted to be anonymous, not just because they wanted to be between them and God, but because they knew as soon as people start digging around, people always want to find something wrong with something because we have a loser mindset. And as soon as people found out whoever they are, they go, oh, that person supported this or that person supported that. So they realize if we're anonymous, then no one can ever diss the campaign because they can't diss us. And this guy said that whoever saw the campaign, he said, these people have incredibly thick skin. That they don't take things personally the way I do. Why is that? Because they have a winning mindset. They have a mindset that's being renewed. I'm preaching to myself in large part because I started taking on a losing mindset for the last 2 to 3 years. It was a horrible time for me. I've been at Crossroads for 27 years, 26, whatever, however we started, 1995 to now, however many years that is. And one of the things I've learned about people over that time is that everybody is pretty much on the edge all the time. I'm talking before COVID. Everybody pretty much spends to zero. It doesn't matter how much money you make. Everybody pretty much spends to zero. Everybody has a maxed out schedule. Everybody has things that they're upset about and things they're not happy about. And so we just don't have margin much give. And so when something bad happens, we explode because we don't have any place to go. And that's part of why COVID was so bad for so many of us. It was just another thing. We already didn't have anything to give to begin with. And if you've led anything, it's really, really tough. So it was very, very difficult for me. All the normal stuff that all of us deal with, and then leading in the midst of COVID and racial strife and tensions and politicization of vaccines and politics and all, yeah, on and on and on and on. I finally went away for a good chunk of time because I was just so tired this last summer. I went away for about 7 weeks. It was wonderful. And the night before I was to come back, I had this stark fear, like, oh no, I have to go back tomorrow. I don't know that I can do it. I think I'm still tired. I think I'm worn out. I don't have any fresh ideas. I don't really freak me out. Got up in the morning, went to work, and I was very timid. But Monday wasn't a bad day. Tuesday was a good day. Wednesday was a good day. Thursday was a good day. What was a good day for me? A good day for me was not saying something stupid I had to apologize for. When I'm on the edge, I get angry and I don't think well, and I would have a goal to go into board meetings. Okay, my goal of this board meeting is to not say something stupid I'm gonna apologize for. And most of the time I failed at that. So whole week, okay, it was okay. It was okay. Then the first weekend to preach, 2 days later, and I had this fear, oh no, I don't know if I can do this, or if I do, I don't know. This means a whole nother year of these things. I don't know that I can do it. And I got through the weekend. I was like, hey, it was a good weekend. Got up on Monday. And Monday was not a good day. But I said, oh, no, I got to do this again. And all of a sudden, I started realizing, wait, I keep thinking things are going to be bad. Maybe I have a losing mindset. One of my favorite things to do is preach at camps. We have man camp where I talk. We have couples camp where I talk. They never asked me to speak at woman camp. I don't know why they don't ask me to speak
Thank
at woman
God.
Camp. Not that I'm comparing or anything. I mean, it was either Oprah, Teddy Roosevelt, or Jesus that said comparison's a thief of joy. So wow. Not that I'm thinking I could be a good woman camp speaker.
That's a bet right there.
But I realized one of the talks I give at the very beginning is I quote Proverbs chapter 24, 23, verse 7, that says, as a man or woman thinketh, so is he. If you think, I say, you're not going to sleep in a tent, you're not going to sleep in a tent. If you think you're going to have a crappy time, you're going to have a crappy time. If you think you're going to be cold, you're going to be cold. You got to think. You got to control your mind that says you're going to have a good time and be fine. And I had a moment of repentance on August 15th, 2022, on a Monday morning when I was dreading the next week, brand new week, where I said, God, I actually think I'm convincing myself that I'm tired. I was tired, that's for sure. I actually think I'm convincing myself. I think I need to repent. I need to change my mind. I need to tell you, God, I'm sorry. I thought that I didn't have any more, and I have more. You've renewed me. You're good. And God, I'm never going to bring this up again. And I'm telling you, friends, bam, like that. It was gone. I'm telling you, it was the weirdest thing. Bam. It's 6 months later. 6 months later, I have people who've been on staff with me for 3 years and are like, man, who are you, man? You're like a different person. No, because you've only known for 3 years. So you only knew the crappy version of me. Other people have been around for 15 years. Like, man, this is BT of 15 years ago. Yeah, because I'd taken on a mindset for 2 to 3 years. Are you taking on a mindset you shouldn't have? Are you taking on attitudes you shouldn't have? Are you taking on beliefs that you shouldn't have? Are you just convincing yourself that you're tired? Are you convincing yourself you're worn out? You're convincing yourself you can't do it because everyone else is saying that? Or is this what you think? Don't be like those who just take the losing mindset. Romans 8:37 says, No to losing mindset. No to negative thinking. No to thinking something God doesn't say is true. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors in him who saves us, Christ Jesus. In all things, more than, you are a conqueror. You're not a victim. You're a conqueror, and you can choose to act like a victim and think like a victim, and therefore you will be a victim. Therefore, you will lose. But that's not who we are. We control our mind, having a winning attitude and saying, no, I am more than a conqueror. Have a winning attitude.
Touchdown, Team Cole!
Let's go.
Points on the board.
So good.
Brian, you were awarded 6 points for an excellent message, an additional 3 points for the random phrase, resulting in an end-of-game score, Team Tome 17, Team Mingo 18.
Ooh.
Assuming you want to go for 2 points.
We'll go for two.
All right.
Guys, sorry to interrupt this. A spotter up on the third balcony is actually a little concerned about concussion protocol for Tortilla Boy. So he's actually been ruled out today. So, Joel, sorry, you got to sit down, man.
Yes. Because something's not connected.
So I have no kicker?
I guess, yeah. Game over. God bless everybody.
Can I can get another kicker to help me with the...
Sure, I don't know the rules.
Does anybody in here have the ability to kick? Anybody in here? Anybody in here at all? Anybody
some
possibly help
up?
Me know what they're doing? Okay, you right there. You look cute. Come up here. I got another kicker
you look
here.
Cute.
I got somebody. I got a kicker.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I got a kicker.
Your starting kicker for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I got a
Evan
kicker.
Mighty Mike McPherson.
Come on. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Shooter McPherson.
He just happened to be in the audience, ladies and gentlemen. Amazing. Amazing.
All right. You can kick for me.
We're ready. What do you want? What do you want?
I just want to introduce myself. I'm Matt, yeah. And big fan Kevin for years. And so I don't know if you have a role in your cast. I've been in Damn Yankees, the musical. I've been in a whole bunch of others. We'll talk offline.
We'll talk. Actually, you and I were talking this last week. You were on my podcast. It's coming out soon. It's really good. And I asked you if this was true or not. I had heard that when you were warming up for the kick to go to the AFC Championship game last year, that you told people as you were walking out, looks like we're going to the championship. Is that true?
Yeah. No, it is true.
That's unbelievable. That's a winning mindset.
It is. And I love hearing you preaching about the winning mindset because it is a big factor in life. I feel like all the Bengals fans, if I had a losing mindset going out onto that field, they probably don't want me on that field. And so just that phrase and how it came out, I really wanted to have that winning mindset and that belief in myself and that trust in God that I was going to go out there with no stress, no anxiety, no thoughts or anything, and just go execute and do what I was called to do.
Wow.
Great. Great. So let's go.
All right. Devin for the win. And I'm giving you an easy one. I want you to win a Super Bowl, okay?
Evan exits. He exits everyone.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Jesus once said, "It is finished." Finish this sentence. Who day?
Think gonna beat them Bengals.
You also get Taylor Swift tickets.
Great.
I bought a whole bunch of them.
Great.
As soon as they came out.
Do we have fun today? And maybe do we also learn something about Jesus and what he wants in our lives today? Maybe that too? Yeah, really, really good. Hey, while I've got Joel and Evan up here, you've asked me to speak at a student event coming up. I can't wait. I'm going to be there. It's going to be awesome. What else is going on at that event?
Hey, the big night, if this is a night for everyone, the big night is just for high schoolers, and then we got one for 5th through 8th graders. It's coming up. Evan is going to be at both, all right? Yep. And BT will be at our high school one, February 24th and 26th. Last year was in this auditorium. We filled it. 302 schools were represented. So be there, crossroads.net/thebignight. And Evan, you got something to close us out with?
Who did?
That's right.
All right, so we're going to give it back to our sites right now for some closing thoughts.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us. If you're wondering, like, what did I just watch? Let me just give you the TLDR version, all right? I would say, man, no matter what you believe about God and no matter who you are, this church was made for you. That church can be a place where you can have fun and connect with other people and connect with God all at the same time. Man, and along those lines, like, I would love to hear from you. I'm a real person. I would love to really hear from you. Send me an email, andy.writer@crossroads.net. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to hear how we can encourage you in your journey with God. Now, along those same lines, I would love to have you join us next week because Brian is going to be unpacking one of the most skipped and one of the most confusing and misunderstood parts of the Bible in really powerful ways to show just that God's consistent character towards you and me is always pursuit and love. Join us next week. We'll see you then.